This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. More than 7,000 students in Massachusetts attend private special education schools each year. Many struggle with autism, learning disabilities, or behavioral issues. Now, these private institutions are expensive, and school districts foot the bill. And a WBUR investigation has uncovered widespread failure of state oversight and financial conflicts of interest in these programs. WBUR senior investigative reporter Patrick Madden has been covering the probe into the state's special education program. Patrick, welcome.
It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. So listen, here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to start at the end and then work our way back. So what did you find?
So our overall finding was that there were widespread potential conflicts of interest at these private special education schools, which, as you mentioned, are funded in large part by taxpayer dollars. And the mechanism for that funding can get complicated, but essentially when students have needs that can't be met in their public school settings, they can attend these schools with local school districts paying the tuition and the transportation costs. Other parents can also attend these schools as private payers, but we were largely focused because of the fact that they are receiving taxpayer money. And so our big finding was that there are 3 out of 4 organizations that are approved by the state had these conflicts of interest, everything from deals with board members to family members hiring each other. And the other finding was that the oversight from the state is fractured. It's muddled. It's lacking from folks that we've talked to.
Okay, so how many? So these are nonprofit organizations, these private schools, and they exist because families who have kids with special needs cannot always get the special education care they need and educational services that they need through the public school systems. Yes.
Right. And I think that's a critical point here is that there is a desperate need for families to receive appropriate support and care for students that have needs. And when those needs aren't met under federal law, they are entitled to getting that education and that support. And for some families, it means attending these private special education schools. And Massachusetts, more than other states, relies on these private schools to educate their students. And the other key point is that it's costly.
Yeah. It is. To what? Give me an illustration.
$800 million in taxpayer funds last year, okay, roughly.
And how many schools are we talking about
We're talking about over 100 schools, and 76 organizations are essentially approved to administer these schools. And they're approved by the state. They go through an accreditation process with DESE, the State Board of Education. And what we found is that while DESE does look at these schools for their health and safety, inspection reports, academic offerings, they're not looking at the financial spending.
Okay. And you know, you said Massachusetts uses them more. There was a Globe report on April 18th that said that state actually places students in out-of-district, special education students out-of-district at more than double the rate of the national average.
Right. And part of that is because Massachusetts has such a well-regarded network of these private special education schools. It was the first state to really pass the law providing support for this type of education. And that law in 1972, I believe, became the model for the federal legislation. And that's why these schools, if you hear them referred to as Chapter 766 schools, it's because that was the legislation sort of setting this in motion. So the schools in Massachusetts are highly regarded. And that's one reason why so many students attend them. But what we found is that the state has essentially taken a hands-off approach to looking at how they are spending money.
And so when no one's watching, then it can get lax.
Exactly.
And tell me about the lax.
And I'll first start by telling you what we did. So these schools, as nonprofits, are required to file disclosures to both the IRS as well as to the state in terms of if they have any potential financial conflicts of interest. And so what we did was we looked at the 76 organizations over a 4-year period and looked at how many disclosures there were for these conflicts, whether it was a family member who was hired, or a board member received a deal.
A contract of some sort for their business.
For their business.
Like they supply food for the school, or they plow, or?
It ran the gamut from, you know, food service contracts, insurance deals, lawyers, consulting fees. And when we spoke to nonprofit experts and showed them the sheer number of schools with these conflicts, particularly with the board members because of the oversight role that they're supposed to play, they were struck by that. I spoke with Lori Styron, who heads the nonprofit watchdog Charity Watch, and here's what she said after reviewing our analysis.
It seems like an awfully big coincidence that the best person for each of these jobs just happened to be a family member of another person involved with the schools. It just seems statistically highly unlikely. People need to be able to trust that their tax dollars are being used in the best possible way. And it makes it tougher to do that when people see a lot of nepotism.
And I think here's the bottom line is the state is spending a lot of money sending it to these schools to educate students with severe needs. And there's never been a more desperate need for this type of support for students. We heard, you know, a lot of families about trying to get into these schools. Often families have to battle school districts to get placement at one of these schools. So there is a desperate need for this type of support. And there are real questions about the type of oversight that the state has when it comes to the spending and other issues. The U.S. Department of Education launched a probe this past fall looking at, you know, the state's role, its supervision or lack of supervision into not just these private schools, but the overall special education system.
And that was an investigation. They launched it last October into the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, or DESE, and its overall oversight of special education. Is that correct?
Right. So in special education, again, it's very complicated. There are so many different facets of it. And frankly, a lot of problems with it when you talk to parents and educators. Partly it's because of there just isn't enough money or funding for school districts to provide the support they need, both in the public school setting and elsewhere. And there's just an over, you sense a lot of frustration when you talk to families and educators. I spoke with Ben Tobin, a former educator who helps parents sort of navigate the system. He used to teach at one of the schools, and he's been a real critic of the lack of oversight for these schools.
If you're taking the money to work with kids with disabilities, it shouldn't be a lot to ask to have some transparency.
And as a lot of parents reach out to Ben to sort of help them guide through this system, because there just isn't a lot of information.
I want to stay there for a second, and we're speaking with Patrick Madden. He is WBUR senior investigative reporter. Patrick has just released a story that looks at the nonprofit private special education schools in Massachusetts, and an investigation into the finances that found high levels of conflict of interest and low levels of effective state oversight of the use of taxpayer dollars. And we've laid out a lot of the necessity of these programs, et cetera, but that's what we found. What's interesting to me, Patrick, is what started you down this path, which was parents, and the challenges of getting parents to talk with you about this once you started down this path. Tell us both of those a little bit.
Right. So we started looking into this because we heard from parents who were having issues at schools. And this came out in this Department of Education probe that essentially parents have been very hesitant to speak out, to be whistleblowers, to complain about schools or treatment at these schools because they feel vulnerable. They're worried that their child might lose placement at one of them. And that is outlined in this federal report about why they are looking at these schools. So it's a very sensitive issue. I mean, for some parents and families, they spend a lot of years trying to get into one of these schools. So it's hard, I think, for parents to speak out if there are problems. Now, I will say after our story aired yesterday, I have heard from a number of different parents, former students, you know, who said, you know, this is a very important issue. Thank you for bringing this up. You need to look into this more. The state should be doing more oversight of these schools. One of the other issues, and I think we'll talk about this, is because the state has taken a somewhat hands-off approach. It's relying on these schools' governing boards. These are private nonprofits. And what we found is that roughly half of these organizations, you know, had deals with their boards or board members or relatives of board members. And when you talk to nonprofit experts, that can really raise scrutiny, raise questions about the, you know, what sort of oversight are these governing boards doing at these places?
All right. So just to underscore what you said about the parents, the challenges, here's a little bit of sound from Boston 25 News. Coming out of the probe last year, the state's oversight of special education, Ellen Chambers is the founder and former head of the advocacy group SpedWatch.
The mechanisms that they have in place to ensure that school districts are complying with these laws is useless. The end result is children failing, children suffering, families in turmoil.
And again, school districts pay the nonprofit organizations reimbursement rates for the students who are going sort of out of district to a nonprofit school here. And we're with Patrick Madden, WBUR senior investigative reporter on this. So that is the last piece is, okay, so who is ensuring compliance with the laws? Patrick, we've talked about the probe into DESE, but there is this whole other structure, which is a set of laws that exist in Massachusetts and around the country for nonprofit stewardship, right? So right. If you are, I've been a nonprofit CEO a number of times. I've sat on more than 10 boards, right? If you're a board chair, if you're a board secretary, if you're a board treasurer, for example, you are a fiduciary who has legal responsibility to the financials. Conflict of interest is a legal issue. What did you hear from board members? Did you talk to any? Because there are laws in place about this stuff.
That was one of the most challenging aspects of this, is we did reach out to many of the schools with conflicts to the boards, and very few responded to our inquiries. Now, these nonprofits, are supposed to have best practices in place, and they do state that they have conflicts of interest policies in place on their IRS forms. But trying to, you know, find out whether or not if they followed, you know, best practices, like did you get multiple bids for this contract, or did you make sure it was a market rate contract. Those should be in board minutes and board records, but those are essentially private.
So at the end of the day, the reason that this matters is because we don't know if the money could have been spent more effectively, more efficiently. Tell me, fill in that blank.
Ultimately, it's on the state, right, to make sure that if it's giving public funds out to schools to educate students, that it's sending there, that it's spending money in the way that it should be, right? The schools do hire third-party accounting firms to audit their finances, and that's what we essentially looked at. We looked at a lot of these audits and that's where we discovered problems with spending or problems with financial controls. What we also found is that it's unclear if the state is looking at these audits.
So, Patrick Madden, this is what you do. You do financial investigative reporting. What's a question that was raised that you might be interested in trying to answer in the future? Kind of what's next for you? Is it this? Are you on to something else? I'm curious what's next for you.
I mean, we're always curious what's next for us, especially in investigation. So if anyone has any good tips, send them our way. I mean, I do think, you know, for all the families involved and the students, you know, you really want these schools to be running the best way possible, and that people are getting the support that they need and deserve and is required under federal law.
And people can find your story on our website?
Yes.
At WBUR.org?
Yes.
Patrick Madden, first time to have you in Studio 2. Very good to have you here. Patrick is WBUR senior investigative reporter. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.